Amen. The First Testament lesson is from Isaiah 49, verses 1 through 7. Please follow along in your pew Bible on page 679. Listen for the word of God. Listen to me, O coastlands. Pay attention, you peoples from far away. The Lord called me before I was born. While I was in my mother's womb, he named me. He made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me a polished arrow. In his quiver, he hid me away. And he said to me, "You are my servant, Israel, in whom I will be glorified." But I said, "I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and vanity. Yet surely my cause is with the Lord, and my reward with my God." And now the Lord says, "Who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and that Israel might be gathered into him, for I am honored in the sight of the Lord, and my God has become my strength. He says, 'It is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the survivors of Israel. I will give you as a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth.' Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to one deeply despised, abhorred by nations, the slave of rulers. Kings shall see and stand up, princes, and they shall prostrate themselves because of the Lord, who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you." The word of the Lord.
So today we are arriving at what's known as the last Sunday of Easter. For the last 6 weeks, we have been in a sermon series that we've been referring to as the Alleluia or Resurrection People series that's focused on the book of Ephesians. And today we conclude this series with a reading from the 6th chapter of Paul's letter to the Ephesians, verses 10 through 20. For those of you who would like to follow along in your pew Bibles, this is on page 195 in the New Testament. The whole armor of God. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day, and having done everything, stand firm. Stand therefore, and fasten the belt of truth around your waist, and put on the breastplate of righteousness. As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. With all of these, take the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times and in every prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert and always persevere in supplication for all the saints. Pray also for me, so that when I speak, a message may be given to me to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it boldly as I must speak. This is the word of the Lord. When I was a child, I attended a Roman Catholic elementary school.
and we wore uniforms. Gray and blue pleated plaid skirts, matching vests with an emblem of the school over our hearts, white shirts with a Peter Pan collar, snap-on blue ties, and a beanie worn on our heads when we went to Mass. I had a love-hate relationship with that uniform the whole long 8 years that I wore it. On the one hand, it was easy and it provided safety. I don't remember a single argument in 8 years with my mother about what I would wear to school that day and what kind of clothing might be appropriate for the season. There was zero energy invested in shopping. The uniform was also a great equalizer. You could never tell what families had money to invest in clothes and what families did not. You couldn't tell who might have some sense of fashion flair and who did not, because frankly, we all looked equally terrible in it. And in that sense, the uniform protected me. You see, it was impossible to distinguish me, a geeky late bloomer, from the more popular pack of kids who surrounded me, and with that uniform, I had a shot at fitting in. On the other hand, that uniform was at times restrictive and demanding. I remember our teachers, the nuns, making us kneel on the tile floor to make sure that the hem of that skirt touched the floor when we knelt down. I remember our teachers instructing us in the responsibility of wearing that uniform. It was a signature trademark of St. Raymond's Parish. We weren't just wearing clothing, we were wearing the identity of the church on our bodies. And when someone saw us in that uniform outside of school, they knew whose we were. There was pride in that. There was also fearful accountability in that. It seemed to demand the highest moral character and standards of propriety and cleanliness. And some days I managed to measure up to those standards. Most days I did not. How many of you at some point in your life have worn this kind of uniform, either in school or in scouting or in the military, in the choir? Come on. Very high moral standards when you put on that robe. So you know what I mean. When you put the uniform on, you're not just wearing clothes, you're wearing an identity. In today's scripture, Paul writes to the community in Ephesus, inviting them to put on a rather unusual uniform. He challenges them to put on the very identity of Christ, to wear the attributes of God. And he likens those attributes to the components of a suit of armor. There's truth and righteousness and peace and faith and salvation and prayer, all of that likened to the belt and the breastplate and the shield and the sword and the helmet. I have to admit that for a long time, this passage of scripture has been really troubling to me. All of the language about war and battle and cosmic evil and good sometimes unsettles me, and it feels very machismo, and there's a lot of bravado in it. I just haven't really ever liked it a lot. However, in working on this message this week, I have gained a whole new appreciation for the brilliance in these verses. You see, the letter to the Ephesians, like most of Paul's letters, addresses a tremendous class of cultures that's found around the Mediterranean Sea in the first century. The entire region is under Roman rule. There are competing cultures and beliefs and religions all trying to operate together inside this empire, and it's the Romans who are the unifiers of this eclectic enterprise, but it's also the Romans who are the oppressors, keeping everyone in line. So notice that Paul uses the uniform of the oppressors, the Roman guard, to teach the Ephesians about the strength of God. Now, historically, the Ephesians worshipped the pagan goddess Diana. There are remnants of a huge temple to Diana to this day in that place. But Paul doesn't use their goddess imagery to teach them about the strength of God. And Jesus was a Jew, and Paul was a Jew, and Paul is trying to teach the Gentiles about the Jewish experience, but he doesn't use Jewish imagery to do that. No, Paul uses the imagery of the Roman soldier, the oppressor. So what is the message for us in that? Well, here's the point. Paul is telling us that wearing God will make you stronger than that which oppresses you. Let me say that again. Wearing God will make you stronger than that which oppresses you. A community that embodies faith and truth and righteousness and peace and salvation is infused with God's power. And the community can overcome any form of evil and oppression with that kind of strength. What I particularly love in these verses is Paul's use of active verbs. In these 10 short verses, 3 times, Paul says, take it. Don't sit around and passively wait for your oppressor to give you the power to stand up. Take the power that's yours. 3 times in these short verses, Paul says, put it on. You cannot admire these traits from a distance. You have to embody them. 3 times, Paul says, stand up. This wardrobe comes with responsibility. And you, Christian, are wearing the very strength of God. Take it. Put it on. Stand up. Will you say that with me, church? Take it. Put it on. Stand up. Good job. I could make Baptists out of you yet. So, I wonder if Paul wrote a letter to our faith community today, encouraging us to stay strong in our faith, would he be using this same metaphor? Armor was a great metaphor for the first century Roman Empire. Everybody knew what it was and how it worked. Probably not so much for today. And Paul was known for adapting his message to the context of whatever community he was in. So I'd like to use that to take a little bit of literary license with this passage. Several weeks ago, I heard a speaker whose ideas have stayed with me. Her name was Carrie Egan. Carrie is a hospice chaplain. She makes her living by sitting with dying and suffering people. What I found most unusual about Carrie was her personality. I encounter many hospice chaplains in my line of work, and they share a predictable kind of temperament that you can spot from a distance. Most hospice chaplains are quieter people. They tend to be introverted thinkers, non-reactive when things are going wrong, very thoughtful, and have a somber presence. But Carrie wasn't anything like that. She was different. Carrie was boisterous and extroverted, talkative, funny. She kept cracking jokes the whole time she was speaking. She laughed easily. She was a joyful person. And the more I learned about Carrie's story, the more I was drawn to her. Because I learned that Carrie had endured a chapter of great personal suffering and physical ailment in her own life. And in spite of that, in spite of the fact that she immerses herself daily in the suffering of others, Carrie wears a uniform of joyful strength. Here's how she talked about God's strength. These are her words. When I first started working in hospice, someone told me this. In most of life, you can be weak inside, and you can get through by putting on a tough outer shell. But if you work in hospice, you have to stay soft on the outside, or you can't be effective. So in order to stand up straight, you have to have a spine of steel. two ways to go through the world, two ways to deal with the loss that is an inevitable experience in life, with a hard shell or with a rock-solid backbone. So, which way will you choose to move through this world, with a hard outer shell like the armor of the first century Roman soldier, or with a rock-solid backbone formed and strengthened by truth, faith, righteousness, peace, and salvation? Perhaps much of the scary stuff that we are experiencing today, culturally and politically, all of this polarization that surrounds us, that is frightening us, perhaps that is the result of too many people trying to be strong by putting on hard outer shells. We're putting up our shields to protect ourselves from ideas that we don't agree with. We're wielding the sword of our own self-righteousness. We're attacking the shortcomings of the other. Truth has become something arbitrary, with everyone yelling fake news at everyone else. And salvation is something that the other guy needs. But we can be different. We are called to be different as Christians. We can choose to move through our worlds with rock-solid backbones, standing firm against injustice, but bending, yielding, and growing in our mutual pain, loss, and confusion. We can demonstrate strength through vulnerability. These past 7 weeks, we've been exploring what it means to be an Alleluia community, an Easter people, and each week has concluded with a challenge to the community. So here's your challenge for this week. I invite each of you to look for an opportunity to demonstrate your strength in Christ through vulnerability. Maybe it will be an opportunity to simply sit and listen to someone with whom you disagree. Maybe it will require you to serve in a place that feels uncomfortable to you. Perhaps it will be speaking out against an injustice that you witness. Possibly, it will be an opportunity to share your faith story with somebody else. Whatever it is, I invite you to look for that place where the world needs a strong Christian presence, and step into that space with a rock-solid backbone born of your faith. And God's strength will be in you and with you in that endeavor. Amen.